You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national, sometimes even the international. And like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Well, welcome to Monday. It's a Monday all day long. A little bit of rain here and there across the listening area, so stay dry if you can. But I can tell you right now, my grass is getting crunchy, as Charlene calls it, and crunchy grass is never good. So we need a little rain. Anyway, hope you're having a good one. And Boomer's on the board. How you, buddy?
I'm good, if I can push the button.
Button. You good?
Yeah, I'm good.
Good. How was your weekend?
Yeah, uneventful.
I think I may have asked you that earlier when I came in, too. And I think I commented, those are sometimes the best weekends.
Sometimes.
I mean, sometimes sitting around in your flannel pants watching a game or your feet kicked up is maybe one of the best weekends.
Well, watching a game will be this next week.
Okay, coming up. All right. Hey, we got a great show laid on for you. 3 o'clock today. He's been on before. Former state senator and now Supreme Court candidate Brian Taylor is going to be on because Brian, if there's anybody in this state who knows the gambling laws in this state, it's him. He has served through two governor's administrations, and he was an advisor to Governor Riley during the bingo task force that was underway at the time. He understands the ins and outs of the law, which is why he's also running now for the Supreme Court. And Brian Taylor is going to be giving us some commentary about that very thing. I'll tell you about that more in just a minute. Brian Taylor, Supreme Court candidate, former state senator, on at 3 o'clock. And then at 4 o'clock, State Senator Arthur Orr. Senator Orr came out recently and said that in his position of leadership that he could foresee the legislature using the power of the purse for universities and others who try to use DEI, diversity, equity, and inclusion policies. I got plenty of stuff on that, too, so we'll talk about it with Senator Arthur Orr at 4 p.m. And then I got a triple dipper full of stuff. Hit it.
The triple dipper. Three stories you've got to know.
That's right, the triple dipper, three stories, three themes, if you will, that you got to know as we run today's show. Number one, rolling the dice. So it's amazing to me, and by the way, it's going to be a two-part discussion. Regardless of how you feel about gaming, you have to question what some of the leadership in our state is saying. And I'll talk about that in light of the gambling laws and the proposal for gambling laws and the reasons for the proposals for gambling laws. All in number one of the triple dipper. Y'all stay tuned for that. Rolling the dice. And then number two, in conjunction with that conversation with State Senator Orr, I'm calling it DEI fatigue. DEI is about worn its welcome out. It's been the flavor of the month. It was one of the latest wokeisms that had to happen. Everybody had to have some DEI policies. Got to have a DEI coordinator. Got to have some DEI. Well, DEI fatigue is now setting in, and we're seeing it left and right. But there are still examples, egregious examples, of things going on, even right here in Alabama. So we'll talk about that. DEI fatigue, number two on the triple dipper. And then number three, I didn't get to it Friday, so I've got it on tap for today, is common sense uncommon? That's a heck of a question, man. The answer is going to wind up being yes, at least depending on where you are. We'll talk about various policies being put into place around the nation where you look at it and go, that makes no sense. So common sense must be uncommon where they are. Anyway, all those things and more on today's show, Triple Dipper. Yep, stand by. It's all coming up. So let me jump over to my comments. I'll remind you that the Right Side Way monologue, every day as we start the show off, I do my monologue, and we call it the Right Side Way. The sponsor of the Right Side Way is Southern Immediate Care, a chain of clinics throughout North Alabama. You can find them in places like Gadsden, Anniston, Atala, five locations around the Birmingham area. More to come, I understand. But Southern Immediate Care is a great chain of facilities, open 7 days a week, and they will take care of all your needs from pediatric to geriatric. So check them out, Southern Immediate Care. All right, so let me jump in here. And I'm going to tell you, this one's going to be a little heavy. But I'll start off light by saying, you know what? There's something special about baby laughter. Baby laughter, man. I'm telling you, if you're having a bad day, just get on your phone and Google baby laughter, and in seconds, you will be smiling. baby laughter has like an unabashed depth to it. It's real. Baby laughter is from the heart. There's an innocence to it, an absolute purity. It is joy expressed at levels that adults can rarely match. That's because babies are special. Everything's a wonder. Nothing is old hat. As babies develop into children, we can marvel at the various stages of their growth and development. Every age has its milestones. A few weeks ago, our grandkids were here. We measured them on the measuring stick that I hung on the wall. And my grandson has grown 2 inches in the past 6 months. 2 inches! No wonder they can't keep shirts on that boy. He's growing like a weed. Well, kids are truly a gift from God. And I know that parenting can be hard. And I would bet that some of y'all out there are grandparenting in the absence of the actual parents. And thank you for that. Thank you for what you're doing. It means something. Because, yes, children are truly a gift from God. And that's why I'm concerned. Our culture is on the one hand, doing all that we can for our kids. And on the other hand, we're destroying them at a rate and never before seen. As a nation, as a culture, we are going to be held accountable one day. It's not enough to say that we were good stewards with our possessions or our skills and talents or our natural resources or our time. One of the greatest forms of stewardship that any culture can be measured against is a simple question: what did you do with the children? There's a horrible story right now out of Virginia. It's a heavy one, but it epitomizes so much of what we have to get a handle on. There was a troubled young girl, I won't name her, but she's named in the article, but there was a troubled young girl in the public schools in Appomattox County, Virginia. The story's on the Daily Wire right now. At 14 years old, the young lady decided she wanted to transition to be a trans male. Her school system decided to help her, and they did not tell the parents that every day at school they were working with their daughter to change her identity. But they also didn't bother to tell the parents that as a part of this, the young lady was also being bullied by other students. And the parents were obviously out of touch, but the school system was also out of line. And the secrecy and the bullying became too much for the young lady, and apparently she ran away, whereupon she was preyed upon by child sex traffickers, taken to Baltimore, kept in a locked room where she was repeatedly raped. But she was eventually rescued by the FBI, except that the activist Baltimore public defender by the name of Anissa Khan refused to return her to her parents because they would not affirm her trans identity. So here's a young lady who has been bullied, harassed, taken advantage of by a school system that was going to lie to the parents. She runs away. She's sex trafficked. She's raped repeatedly. And then once they find her and rescue her from the sex traffickers, the activist prosecutor won't let her go home because the parents won't affirm her gender identity. What the heck? Khan, the activist public defender, even threw away letters the parents were sending to their daughter while she was being detained and led the girl to believe that they did not even want her. Khan even put the young lady in a boys' group home. And when a judge then ordered Khan to return the girl to her parents' custody, Khan chose to appeal. Meanwhile, the stress on the young girl had reached a point that she ran away again, and she was abducted once again by a sexual predator and taken off to Texas. Texas authorities rescued her for a second time and immediately returned her to her parents. Praise God. As you might imagine, the parents are now suing the Baltimore Public Defender's Office and the Appomattox County School System. Now, those events occurred in 2021. From what I gathered in the several articles that I reviewed, she does appear to be doing well. And Virginia state legislators have also introduced legislation. They're going to name it after her. It would prevent any school system from ever withholding information from parents. I hope that lawsuit brings some justice. I hope some well-deserved justice to that sweet young lady who had her childhood robbed from her by a combination of activism, arrogance, indifference, and sexual predators. I mean, at every single turn, society failed her. At every turn. I can't speak for her parents. I don't know if they were tuned out or just kept out. But I do know this. They never stopped trying to bring her home. But if kids are a gift from God, and I believe they are, if kids are a gift from God, then how is it that we as a society have allowed so much pervasive and abusive behavior to be inflicted upon them? On the one hand, we're seeing more and more kids who remain in a perpetual state of adolescence, while on the other hand, we see them being forced into adult decisions about their sexual identity. Scientific American ran an article a few years ago. It said that 25 is the new 18. 25 is the new 18. The trends are there that many kids see no reason to grow up and accept what my daughter used to jokingly refer to as adulting. Whether it be a result of the digital age or helicopter parents or a willingness to simply mollycoddle teens into their 20s, The fact remains that less of our younger society is fully prepared or even willing to engage society at the next level. One researcher from Columbia University stated, 25 is the new 18, and a delayed adolescence is no longer a theory, but a reality. In some way, we're all in a psychosocial moratorium, she said, experimenting with a society where swipes constitutes dating and likes are the equivalent of conversation. Okay. But yet we tell our children they need to make adult decisions about sex and sexual identity. Is he see the contradiction here? States like California allow kids as young as 12 to make their 12. States like California allow kids as young as 12 to make their own healthcare decisions without parental consent. But yet studies show that upwards of 80% of children who do have gender dysphoria embrace their own biological sex as they emerge from puberty. But children who face a social contagion of constant pressure to follow their own truth and get medical intervention and even surgeries wind up more often than not with a lifetime of counseling and medication. Whatever the case, it is socially oxymoronic of us as a culture to, on the one hand, raise up children to be children past their prime, big man-childs and girly women who have no desire or motivation to exit the nest. But at the same time, we have a society that will tell a child they need to understand, accept, and even participate in adult versions of sexuality. Even to the extent of allowing children who cannot drive or legally sign a contract or marry or join the military, allowing them to make a decision that says that they are not what their biology says they are. Folks, I'm going to tell you, we have reached the zenith of social schizophrenia. On the one hand, telling a child to never grow up, while on the other, demanding they be treated like an adult. We have to rein this in. We have to affirm our kids, love our kids, and remain involved in their lives. We must love them enough to tell them no and teach them responsibility, but yet shield them from the burdens of adulthood before their time. They will be adults soon enough. And I wonder, how will they remember their childhood? Kids are a gift from God, and we are called to be good stewards of His gifts. So go listen to some baby laughter and tell me I'm wrong. And that's a wrap for the Right Side Way. Yeah, it really is crazy when you think about it, y'all. I mean, on the one hand, the new dynamic is kids that never leave home, kids that don't make adult decisions or enter the adult world. They don't want to. They've never been led up to believe they should. At the same time, though, you got 12-year-olds in California making medical decisions that they should never be required to make, ever, about their sexuality. Come on. We're going to be held to account for this one day. Let's be on the right side of it. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. You guys stay tuned. We'll be right back.